Let me just give a couple of words of introduction here to set the stage of why I've chosen this passage to preach from this afternoon. In our study of mercy ministry, the poor and the rich come in front of us. The plight of the poor is especially a subject for mercy ministry, and the responsibility of those who have means also come before us. I thought it wise for us to get a perspective on riches and poverty, and that perspective is especially put forward to us by God's Word. And it's a perspective that James speaks of in verses 9 through 11 of his letter. In fact, as I glance down here, the word perspective is used by the New King James to introduce this paragraph, the perspective of rich and poor. So please listen as I read James 1, verses 9 through 11. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. This is a good period of the year to be thinking about flowers, isn't it? It's a time in which, as spring is around us, that all over Stillwater, there are flowers that are growing and coming up. I transplanted a couple things that were in our front garden to a new location, and while it was nice and cool and wet, they were doing just fine. But just with one day of it being a little hot and dry this last week, those transplants of mine are looking droopy now. They don't look very good at all, and I'm wondering whether they'll survive or not. James talks about flowers that don't last forever. Flowers that come up very quickly, but then in the heat of the sun and in the scorching of the wind, those flowers fade away, the plant withers, the blossom falls, and its beauty is destroyed. And we know about some of that scorching type of withering heat here in Oklahoma, I would wager to say. Flowers don't last forever. Neither do the circumstances of this life. James presses on us a perspective of our Christian citizenship, a citizenship that is in heaven. And because of that, in Christ, whatever circumstance we live in, we are rich. We are exalted. James talks about it in the context of financial stability or financial situations. And I'll follow James this afternoon, but encourage you to see that as he applies it to a financial condition and a perspective on poverty and wealth, it could equally be said or applied to every situation of life, that since our citizenship is in heaven, that we are called to be humbly joyful because of our position in Jesus. For the main idea of my passage, I'll take the words from James and summarize it this way. In Christ, the poor are rich, and the rich are poor. James uses a very fun wordplay here to help us understand how, whether rich or poor, we are both called to humble reliance in our position in Jesus. So let's look, first of all, at how the poor are rich. And by the way, I'll spend most of my time here because the rich being poor is really just the flip side of the same coin. And I think you'll see it as I turn it over to look on the other side in just a few moments. James has been teaching about trials and temptation in the early part of this book. He has been teaching in the context of suffering because the context of really practical Christian living, and has pointed out the importance of faith in the midst of those trials. He has called believers to trust in Christ in the midst of those afflictions. Such faith will allow you to regard even the hard times as an occasion for joy. If you read earlier in the passage, you'll see we can understand that since God is at work for His own glory and to promote your salvation, that we are given reason for real Christian joy in the midst of those sufferings. He works, James says, to bring patience and maturity to His children. In the midst of suffering, He offers wisdom so that His loved ones can persevere in faith and trust Him in all things. The faith, which is the gift of God, then grows in us. It is nurtured by His Spirit and by His Word. It's nurtured in such a way that we understand that God exists, that He's powerful, and that He is all good. As we pray to God, then we see that our faith is based on God as He has revealed Himself, and His promises that He has recorded in His Word. That's the context in which now James gives us a perspective about poverty and wealth. James applies this to a very specific nature of life. And it's a trial that I think we can all relate to. It's a trial very practical in the sense that we each face the needs of finances and the wants and the necessities of life, along with knowing the provision of God and a level of wealth. It is to this specific circumstance that James brings his subject of faith and the subject of faith acted out in life. To be honest, we don't like to suffer. We don't like to apply it especially to poverty. We don't like being poor. We don't like poverty. We don't like it when it happens to us. We don't like it when we can't have or supply what we need. We don't like it when we can't have what we want. Every time we make purchases, we are reminded even of our limitations there. We'll even be so hateful of poverty as to not like the look of it in others. And so be tempted to look down our noses at those who are really poor. You can see how poverty is a real test of faith, can't you? It tests whether or not our identity, our trust, is in Jesus Christ. It tests whether we have grasped that God ordains all things according to His good purpose. And we will sometimes wrongly equate poverty or suffering as second best. I can't help but remember the musical Fiddler on the Roof when I think of poverty and wealth. And I'll try to resist breaking into a song, If I Were a Rich Man, that Tevye sings. Tevye is a poor milkman, and he reflects on his poverty and praise to God in this song of his, "If I Were a Rich Man." And he thinks about all of the things that he would do if he just had more money. "I'd build a big, tall house with rooms by the dozen, right in the middle of the town. There'd be one long staircase just going up and another even longer coming down, just for show." So he's some of his musings are about the things that he wants rather than the things that he might need. He also reasons reasons with God that if he had more money, that then he would have the time that he lacked to sit in the synagogue and pray. That would be the sweetest thing of all. And as I was thinking about Tevye, I was struck of how he despised being poor and despised himself for that poverty, and honestly despises God because of that poverty. It's as if the poor man says, "I'm not as important as so-and-so because I'm poor. I cannot have the position. I cannot have the things. I cannot have the power that others have because I don't have money. I don't even have the time that I would want to pray. God doesn't love me because of this affliction he has brought on me." James answers that to count it pure joy. Those are the words earlier in James 1. Count it pure joy when you suffer various trials. And in this specific instant, he says to consider poverty a joy. How's that for being countercultural? To consider poverty or suffering a joy. As verse 9 puts it, the brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. The way I put it, the poor are rich. The one of a humble circumstance or a lowly position is exalted, says James. Consider your position in God's eyes. Those that are lowly are exalted. And in one simple turn of a phrase, James has laid out really a commanding view of God's care, a Christian's position, and godly contentment, all just by capturing how those who are lowly, those who are poor, are rich. And it's interesting that James doesn't go into the evils of greed or the temptations that plague those who are rich. He doesn't go into the problems that do come. There's teaching about that throughout Scripture. But what James does is he focuses on the positive, and in doing so, he helps us to deal calmly and joyfully with the need that faces us. The brother in humble circumstances. For James in the first century, someone who was in humble circumstances was in a very bad way. Men who converted to follow after Jesus Christ in James's audience typically did so in a Jewish context. James was a minister in Jerusalem, and the population was Jewish. And those that followed after Christ faced being ostracized by their family, by their church, by the synagogue, by their loved ones, by their friends, potentially by their workplace. They could be left without means to provide for themselves or their family. Think of what happened to the man born blind who confessed that it was Jesus Christ who healed him. His parents figuratively put him out of the house. The Jews literally put him out of the synagogue. And here's a man who's rejoicing in Jesus Christ and is ostracized by his loved ones. Beyond that, they faced literal physical persecution and even death itself. Many had to flee from their homes, were dispersed from the country. You read through Acts and you'll see how persecution scattered the church over the known world at that time. They were in humble circumstances. Something resulted from that. And it wasn't just that they were made humble because of their circumstance. This is part of human nature, unfortunately, to form cliques or class distinctions and divisions. Paul condemns this type of distinction in 1 Corinthians. He calls the church to see the common bond that every believer has in Jesus Christ, whether they're rich or poor. In 1 Corinthians, in the context of the celebration of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the Corinthian church also typically had what appeared, or what we have come to call, a love feast. They celebrated a fellowship lunch together. And there were some that were feasting and some that were going hungry in that fellowship lunch. And Paul confronts them on the division that had occurred, that in the context of their unity in Christ, that there would be any sort of division based on any financial distinction. Paul commands them to wait for each other in the celebration of the sacrament, to wait for each other so that that distinction and division that had even carried over into the sacrament would be put away, and that they would celebrate their unity together. Their prejudice and misuse of the sacrament resulted even in God's judgment on the Corinthians. He warns that some are sick or have fallen asleep because of God's judgment of their misuse of it. Humble circumstances, poverty, it's nothing new. In fact, the poor you will always have with you. You can find ample models in Scripture of believers who faithfully depended upon the Lord, even in dire conditions. And you can too. You can take pride in your high position. When James says to take pride, he uses a term that points to both the sinful form of boasting and to a godly joyfulness. And it's interpreted by the context. And here, the context, James clearly says that you can express joy and boast in the Lord in your poverty, in your humble circumstance. I like the way Psalm 34 puts it, that at all times I will bless the Lord. In praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast. The meek will hear with joy. There is a taking pride in our high position, no matter our circumstance, that is an act of glorifying God. Because that high position is not a position of financial wealth. It is a high position of being lifted up and united to Jesus Christ Himself. James is obviously not talking about physical riches. He uses the wordplay here to describe the humble circumstances and an exalted position. You can't be both at the same time, to be poor money-wise and rich money-wise at the same time. He's using a wordplay here to show riches towards God. And he points that out that our worth, our value, is based on our position before God in Christ. It's not based on our wallets. It's not based on our actions or our abilities, our gifts. It's based solely on the Son, solely on Jesus Christ. How often do I measure value based on money, based on ability? But every believer, no matter how poor, is considered an heir of Jesus Christ. We are united with Him and reign with Him. We have the highest of positions because we are in Christ. One of the joys of celebrating the sacrament of communion is because God makes this shown to us in such a wonderful way. As we take the bread and the cup, we are celebrating our high position, that we have been exalted by Jesus Christ Himself. So the question comes, is your circumstance humble? Are you in a position, either financially or because of other circumstances, of being in a low circumstance? Your identity is that of being rich in Jesus Christ. Don't let the fleeting sufferings of this life bring doubt or despair or disdain. You are united with the Prince of Peace. As His church, you make up those who are beautiful and accepted in the Beloved. If in Christ, He has loved you with an everlasting, intimate tenderness. Take pride in your position in Jesus Christ. James doesn't stop there. Suffering is fleeting, but so too, riches are fleeting. Just as the poor must not see his worth based on what he does not have, the rich must not see their worth by what they do have. Like I said, it's just the flip side of what I've already been saying. It's the flip side of the same coin. The poor man may say, I am nothing because I have nothing. The rich man is tempted to say, I'm pretty special because I have something, because I have everything. I'll be shorter here because the message is the same to rich and to poor. Your identity is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. As the circumstances of suffering are fleeting, so are the circumstances of wealth. Those come and are quickly gone. As quickly as a flower sprouting up and blooming, so in the heat of the sun, in the trials of this life, wealth can go away. So where do we find hope? It's not in our wealth that is here today and gone tomorrow. It is in Jesus Christ. You probably wouldn't classify yourself as rich. You could probably name a lot of people that are richer than you. That doesn't take very long. But isn't that the way of social greed and prejudice? You picture everything on a scale, and there's always somebody richer than you are and somebody poorer than you. Always somebody to envy and somebody to despise. And somewhere in that scale we fall. James says, that the rich are poor. That the one who is rich should take pride in his low position. And isn't that just wonderful? Again, the wordplay that James uses. It's not that they are less of a person or less of a Christian, just as surely as one who is poor is not less of a person or less of a Christian. It means that they are no better off than anyone else. The one who realizes this comes to terms that earthly riches are fleeting. They wither away like the flower. And they consciously practice this belief by treating all as being on the same footing. Prejudice has no place then in the church because we are all one in Christ. Whether rich or poor, our identity is in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. You may find yourselves in humble circumstances today. It's a trial that may lead you to reason like Tevye, if I were a rich man. And as Tevye says, if money is a curse, then may God smite me with it so that I never recover. And have despised your condition, yourself, and your God. Because in Christ you are rich. Riches are fleeting. And your value does not come from money. It comes from the living God who loved you and gave Himself for you. You may be tempted in the flush of income to think you have it all together, to think that you are an important person and accepted by what's in your wallet. But it's not what's in your wallet that causes you to be accepted. We are accepted in the Beloved. We exalt then in our low position in our wealth. We exalt in our high position in our need. If you're rich, you're poor. If you're poor, you're rich. In Jesus Christ, we celebrate the unity that we have with each other and with God. May you set your eyes on that author and perfecter of your faith. And by faith, take pride in your position. Let's bow before Him in prayer. Lord God, it is very easy for us to be distracted by our circumstances. I marvel at Paul, who can talk about how our afflictions are light and momentary. God, especially as I think about charity and I think about perspectives on wealth and poverty, that's a place where we have often erred and sinned in our perspective on our position. Lord, I pray that you would give us clear-sightedness, that in our poverty that we would see how you have exalted us in Jesus Christ. And as we have been lifted up in the world's eyes, I pray that you would help us to celebrate our low condition and how there's a common bond of faith with all. Lord, especially in the context of the practice of Christian charity. I pray that our perspective on wealth and poverty, our perspective on our position in Jesus Christ would be well placed. And as we look forward now to the celebration of the communion sacrament, I pray that you would minister to us in tangible ways. We would celebrate the new birth that we have in Jesus Christ. We would celebrate our position. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to respond to God's word by singing Psalm 90, Selection C.